Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Oh yeah, good morning everybody and afternoon in other places. Happy Saturday to all of you. In the room, we've got Steve Silva.
I had a big 10-inch when I was a kid.
Amber Ash McCary.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Producer Zach's here with us.
Hi, how are you?
And I am Sean Roberts, your host, and together we are your Weekly Dose podcast. And as always, we are streaming live to you here from Orange County, California, every Saturday morning here at 10 a.m. on the West Coast and 1 p.m. in the afternoon on the East Coast now.
1 p.m. on the East Coast.
That's right, because we are now doing our debut broadcast on Delmarva Talk Radio.
Whoa, Delmarva.
So, exciting.
Hello, everybody on the East Coast. Delmarva is Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia. So, hello to everybody out there, and welcome to our first live program on Delmarva Radio.
I understand that's a very beautiful area.
It is.
Oh, it's gorgeous. God.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I've got an uncle who lives in Maryland, so hopefully he's
listening.
Well,
there you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, everybody on the East Coast, thank you so much for joining us today, and hopefully you'll join us every Saturday as we pay homage to our favorite radio gods, Mark and Brian, with the hopes of getting them into the Radio Hall of Fame this summer. Just remember to follow Mark and Brian, R-H-O-F, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram on how you can help them get into the Radio Hall of Fame.
Now, for those of you on the East Coast who don't know who Mark and Brian are, basically they are two L.A. DJs here in Los Angeles that were on a station called KLOS for about 25 years. So they were a huge and big staple to us here in Los Angeles, which is the reason why we pay homage to them. And, of course, there are some listeners that have moved out of the Los Angeles area to the East Coast and the Midwest and everything who try to follow them as well. So we basically pay homage to those guys. So for those of you on the East Coast, we hope that you enjoy our show as well.
They did originally start on the East Coast.
Well, not really.
It's the South.
They started in the
East,
South.
Southeast.
The South. They started.
Really? I didn't know this.
Birmingham, Alabama is where they actually started. They were there for 2 years, and then Los Angeles called, and they came out here and made radio history. So so that's what Mark and Brian's all about. So you'll hear that from time to time, every time we go on the air. And so that's why we kind of do that, because our show pays homage to them.
Yes. And for those of you who recently followed us, thank you. I'm getting pointed at by Sean.
You're getting the finger there.
Oh, thank you. So thank you guys for joining us. Thank you for listening and joining our family. And we're so glad that you listen to the show. And you can follow us on the Facebook, Instagram, hit us up. Twitter, all those things. We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. And today's show, we've got a lot of cool things. We're doing a new segment called Lockdown Pick Me Up because, of course, everybody's in lockdown across the country. We're going to be doing a little bit of haiku poetry for you guys. We'll be discussing actor Brian Dennehy, the best drinks with amaretto that you can put amaretto in. And it's been 50 years since the Monkees and the Beatles have both broken up. How ironic. It's been 50 years for both. And also, it is 8-track day. So if you remember your favorite 8-track, let us know. You can always tweet that to us. And we have something also what we call a pocket-size cinema that we like to deliver for everybody else. So that's what we got for the show.
Yay!
Yeah, not only can you download the show for free from our website, you can go through all the things that we adhere to, like iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Spotify, all those wonderful things. And now Marva Radio, of course. We're going to be with them. And just don't forget when you search for us and find us that you remember to rate and review the show.
Please, that's so important for us. And of course, today's theme song is my Big Ten Inch Record by Aerosmith, and it's for National Record Store Day. And we were talking a little bit about this right before the show started, that as of 2019, record sales, actual LP sales, have surpassed CD sales for the first time in 20 years.
Whoa, that's really fun.
Really?
And, yeah, and what's kind of neat, too, is that you're going to see a lot of repressing of, like, Beatle albums and Led Zeppelin and stuff, whatever, in certain stores, so which is kind of neat to see. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool, man. So,
and I think there's been a resurgence of manufacturing of actual turntables as well.
You know what?
It's a huge demand.
Karen, my wife Karen got me one for Christmas. I'm thinking, what the hell for? You know, but there is some, I will say though, there is something special. I was going to return it. We haven't returned it. It's what, April, you know, so
it
ain't going to happen. Yeah. but I guess I kind of held it on because like all my albums are in the garage in my father's trunk that he used to have in the Air Force. But there is something special about putting a needle on a record and listening to it that way. There's just something miraculous about that. So
something that Zach has no idea about, probably.
Oh, please. God, I wasn't born yesterday.
Was it the day before?
Yeah, it was actually a week
ago.
The vinyl
thing is very hipster.
Hey, I was a punk rock kid. I'm well aware of vinyl records.
Yeah, but didn't punk rockers break vinyl records, though? Or
no.
There's a little bit of rebellion there.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Oh, that's what that was.
Yeah.
Yes, so anyway, it was.
So our theme song, and we have a different theme song every week, too. So this week, again, it's My Big 10-Inch Record by Aerosmith for National Record Store Day. And, of course, don't forget, you can always get any of the artists that we play on our show today. We can get their music from our sponsor, Amazon.
Amazon, yes. So nowadays, more and more people, especially now that we're all quarantined, are shopping online, and there is no better place to shop online than Amazon.
That's right, Amber. They have everything, so get what you want by shopping on Amazon.
Amazon?
Amazon.
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 Amazon. Whew, yeah.
You know, where Wonder Woman shops.
Yeah,
Wonder Woman.
Try to get. Okay, so get what you want by shopping on Amazon. Just remember to use our banner.
That's right. All you need to do is go to our website, yourweeklydose.com. Click on our Amazon banner and bookmark it. That way, every time you want to shop on Amazon, you use the bookmark link. And by doing so, you help the show stay on the air.
And you get all your shopping done with no big crowds, which is really a great thing. And if you're like me and you have trouble getting out to do your shopping, Amazon is there to help you out. They even deliver.
I just like to shop in my underwear.
Oh.
Oh, let me see.
Can I be a shopping partner?
Can I see?
My pajamas.
See, you gotta be excited now because you know you're zooming. So, and we'll explain that later too online.
So, I like it.
Anyway, Amazon even will deliver groceries for you. Although there's a lot of that, they're trying. Some places have stopped doing that because there's so many people now who need that.
Right.
So yeah, it's a big fiasco. But normally they would deliver your groceries right to your house.
Absolutely.
I got rice, so we're good. So if you're going to do all of your shopping online,
me,
on your toilet, in your underwear, you're buying a bag of rice, there's only one place to go, yourweeklydose.com, and use our Amazon banner to get the job done.
And remember, when and never, always remember, and never, are you, one more.
My sound effects, they're there.
There it is, okay. When you use our Amazon banner, you help support the show. Amazon, work hard, have fun, make history.
Shut up and take my money.
So, Dub Marva, how you guys doing so far? Enjoying the show? Yeah, we go highbrow here on the on the West Coast. Yes. Well, one segment that we like to do every week also is catching up with each other. Basically, because since we always do the show once a week, you know, there's other things that are going on in each other's lives. So let's go ahead and start and catch up. So, Steve.
Yes.
How many times did you get high this week?
How many days were there in the week?
Seven.
So that would be Six.
Six, okay.
I take one night off.
Now we should add that it is legal here in California.
Oh, yeah, yes, that's right. Yes. And it's, I hate smoking.
Yeah.
So I do edibles. Like, I got some great chocolate that Zach got for me.
God, that was like a month ago. You made those last?
Yeah. Well, it's almost time for another rendezvous.
Well, you know,
I need to re-up, Zach.
I'm going to do a delivery order this evening, so I will make sure to stock up for you. So
good.
If anybody has requests, please let me know.
Okay.
Especially
on the East Coast.
The one thing exciting I did do this week is I wrote a song in the vein of
Glenn Campbell.
It's the Glenn Campbell music. Like Weird Al does.
Right, a parody.
A parody, that's it. There's the word. I wrote a parody. I sent it to Sean to make him laugh.
He did. It was funny.
So
and
it was good.
It was pretty good. I think we actually might do it next week. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I'm game for that.
It was pretty good. Yeah. So
I'll be in studio for that one. That's really good.
Yeah. You'll be good.
So that was my week.
Yeah. Amber, how was everything for you? And of course,
I don't even know what day it is, honestly.
And of course,
I know.
Amber right now is broadcasting from her home.
Yes.
Not because she's got anything right now, but she has kids. So when she has her kids with her versus her ex-husband, they go back and forth.
Exactly, just kid-sharing schedule.
Amber will kindly stay home with the kids and everything in that way, because you know, the kids go back and forth, and it just minimizes everything for us here.
You just want to be safe. You just want to be responsible and safe right now. We're trying.
Yeah, and she's doing a great job
of
that, too. Yes.
But I've been fine. I got my stimulus check. I paid all my credit cards, and I've been non- eBay and Amazon. That's as exciting as it gets right now.
I finally got mine too the other day.
Yeah. Whoop. Yeah, we got ours as well too, so.
Yes, people got to wait till like next week or the week after.
Yeah.
Oh,
and hopefully you'll have a mistake and you'll get like $8 million.
Yeah, like yeah.
Did you hear about that, Amber?
No, what
happened? There was this one guy who got his stimulus check this past week, and there was a mistake, and I guess he looked at his account, and adding the stimulus check to his account, it should have said $8,000 in his bank. Well,
okay.
Instead, it said $8
million. Greedy
Sweet.
Bastard.
So,
invest.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I would have immediately
cashed it out.
I would have transferred it into my savings account and let it sit there until they want it back.
I would have transferred to like an offshore account.
Yeah,
basically.
I know, right?
They would find you.
Who do we know in Sweden?
Sweden and what's the other one? The Caribbean or something like that?
The Caribbean, the Turks and Caicos. I don't know.
And I will kill you.
Yeah, they'll send Liam Neeson after you.
Yeah,
yeah, that's the IRS.
More importantly, if that happened to me, why would you alert the news, media, anything to get attention from that? I would not tell a single soul and send that, like
know.
You said, to an offshore account.
Cayman Islands. That's what I was thinking.
Cayman Islands.
Cayman Island account. There you
go. Yeah, that was that movie, The Firm, with
exactly, The Firm.
Gene Hackman.
Yeah, Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise. Yeah.
Well, you have two choices. You either become a criminal or you become the good guy. You pick.
I don't know. $8 million is enough.
I
would
be criminally good.
You could live somewhere with that.
Yeah, I know. I'd cash it out and then be like, but I donated it to a charity, okay?
Exactly. There you go. Yeah, then you get a tax write-off.
And I own the charity.
Just like in Ghost.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So what about you, Sean? How about you?
This week was a little bit of an unusual week for me because I kind of suffered from a little bit of depression here and there, and I was kind of going up and down. But overall, I try to keep myself busy. So of course the downstairs bathroom has been a major project.
Yes.
Mainly for those especially those who are new to the show. We did some repiping in my house recently. So because of that there were holes, so we now have the guys come out and did all the patchwork. But the thing is that we're the ones who had to paint. Basically, so over the patchwork.
You made it sound small when you said patchwork. It's actually, you guys were needed to do a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it was big. So, thank you. This past week, I got the master bedroom or the master bedroom's bathroom, the master bathroom done. I got
was that
Roman.
Hard to say?
It
huh?
was.
Wow.
It was.
I meant to master bed bathroom. Bathroom.
Yeah. And then I got Roman's bathroom done. So that got painted. And then the one in our hallway upstairs got painted. So the only thing we have left to do now is paint downstairs the two spots for the ceiling and then the bathroom. And we decided to rip off all the paint from it and repaint it fresh.
Oh, wow.
So today, once we're done with the show here, we're going to head on over to Home Depot, get the stuff to spray on for texture, sand that down, and then paint. That way I can install the toilet and the sink, and hopefully we are done.
Don't forget your masks. Don't forget your face covers.
Is that you, Amber?
They're out of masks over there at Home Depot.
No. Just put on like a handkerchief.
I don't have anything.
Most of the stores, you got to just put something over your face.
You know, I went to, I had to buy a shop vac yesterday. And so I went to Walmart to go get like a little 3-gallon one.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is that I went to the one here in Long Beach because it's a little bit closer to the house.
Yeah.
Not by much, by like half a mile versus the one
Signal Hill one?
In Westminster. No. The one over on Carson.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So I get there. I get in line. They won't let me in because I don't have a mask.
Yep.
That's what I'm telling you.
And I said, well, that's what I'm here to do, is to pick up my mask. So how do I get in and get them? And he's like, I'm sorry. I said, you realize this is a catch-22.
A big one.
It really is.
You know, so I bought masks so I can protect myself. Uh-huh. And now you won't let me get in, you know, whatever. So
how about new?
You crazy Dutch bastard. And so I went, okay. So, and I wasn't the only one who got turned away. There was a few other people, some elderly people too, whatever. So I went to the one in Westminster, which is in Orange County versus the one in LA County. Mm-hmm. And they saw me and said, hey, welcome. Come on in.
There you go.
It is much less strict and crazy in Orange County. I've noticed. Long Beach is really, and Long Beach and LA have really like adhered to everything.
They have.
I've noticed.
They really have.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what my mask is? Remember when we went and mooned the Amtrak?
Oh gosh.
Yeah. I'm listening.
We got those scarves from the tequila.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So that's my.
Yeah.
I threw mine away. Like before the coronavirus thing broke out. So, yeah.
He used bad. Like one of Karen's bra cups or something. Like, you know, just something.
Just have one type of bra tied around your face.
Exactly.
People were doing that.
They're doing a lot of weird things.
They are.
One cup goes in the front, one cup goes in the back, snapping around the side.
Yeah, one guy got it messed up. He had him over his ears. I don't know what he thought was going to do. But
you know what? And if you do it right, and if you're Jewish, you could have one as your mask and the other one as
one
as,
on the top.
Yeah, one on top
of your
yarmulke. Yeah. Exactly. So it can all work out.
Well, there's a lot of great ideas there.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So welcome, Del Marva. How you guys doing? Doing okay? Welcome to the show. So that was my week, whatever. So hopefully today we'll get the bathroom done. So
yay.
Yeah. Producer Zach, how was your week, bud?
Hi. Good. I'm actually trying to remember what it was now. I didn't really do a whole lot, except I'm anxiously awaiting, speaking of Amazon, a package for a game that I went to 3 different stores to try and find, and I just for the life of me cannot find it. You guys aren't going to know what it is, but it's a remake of a Final Fantasy game that came out when I was probably like 10. This is it right here. And it's beautiful. It's probably the most amazing remake of anything I've ever seen in my life, and I can't wait to get
this. What's the actual title?
Final Fantasy VII.
Seven.
What console is this on?
PlayStation 4.
Okay.
And PlayStation.
This game came out when I was like 12 years old, and it was 4 discs. It was an extremely long game. And so for them to remake this and just, you know, put out the graphics that are out now, it's astonishing.
So is it 8 discs now?
I think it's 2, actually. It's so long that they actually had to put it in 2. Most games don't do that anymore. Yeah. So this is 2. So that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm hoping it comes today. I got to work all day.
So how does that work with multiple discs? You like get to run, all right, I got you finally. Oh, yeah, well, you can. Please put in disc 2.
I was wondering the same thing.
Well, what it
kind of like watching Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, exactly.
What the original one would do is you would get to a certain chapter and then it would be the end of a part and it would say please insert the disc, and then it would just kind of pick up for that from where that left off. So that's probably going to be what this is.
Wow. That's kind of cool.
So that and the puppies keeping me busy. She was the reason why I was late this morning, because my neighbors across the street had never seen her before. Took her out to do her little business, and they just saw her, and I got to teach that dog not to just run up to anybody, because she just sprinted out to the street because they reached out for her. Oops,
she's so cute and friendly.
Yeah, I kind of wish she wasn't. I wish she was barking and angry and didn't want to be social, because I don't want to run out to the street.
She's like my dog. She's like Bean. She just wants to go see everybody.
And she's so little, too. That's what I worry about, because no one's going to see her driving. Mm-mm. You know, that's why I want to run out. But, you know, she's good. Everyone else is good.
I'm good.
I started also juicing. I got a juicer from Target the other day.
Oh, which one did you get?
How do you say it? Is it oyster? Oster?
Oster.
Oster. It was like
Oster, yeah. Oster juicer.
It was like $80 at Target. So
is it kind of like the one that I have downstairs on the counter right now, or no?
No, this one's a little bigger.
Ooh.
It's pretty good. I'm throwing like oranges and carrots in there for breakfast. It's damn good.
Have you juiced a ham yet?
No. but I put a quarter pounder in there the other day.
Ooh.
That's healthy.
Yeah, squirt some ketchup and, you know, had a, you know.
Yeah, I figure if I ever lose all my teeth, I'll get one of those if I lose all my teeth, and I can put cheeseburgers and steak and everything and just make a mush.
So gross.
Bad for your digestion, though.
Yeah. We have an orange tree in our backyard, so we've been juicing fresh orange juice for quite a while now. And
I love that
it's worth it. It's really worth
it. Updates are all about buying stuff. Everybody's like, I'm bought this. I'm doing this. You're going to Home Depot.
Oh, one
I'm buying
more.
Antique books. Zach's buying video games. Steve's just getting high over here.
But one more thing. My new activity that I've been doing is riding my bike. So I'm running like 15, 16 miles a day now.
Oh, good for you.
So I rode from my house in Yorba Linda to Cal State Fullerton and back.
I did 7 miles yesterday myself.
Really?
It was behind the wheel of my car, but yeah.
I was going to say, wait a minute.
It doesn't have power steering, so it makes it exercise.
Well, on your car, yeah.
Well, this bike's an electric bike, so it's got like that pedal assist thing. So when you're when you're going up a steep hill, you just kind of turn on the settings a little bit, and you put it on like the second or third one, and you can cruise up that hill like it's no big deal. It doesn't wear you out or anything. That's how I'm able to go this far.
Do you know what that's called?
Oh God, I'm ready. I'm ready for it. Hold on. I'm almost ready. Tell me what's called, Amber.
It's called cheating. It's called cheating. That was the joke. You're cheating.
Yay.
Oh, no.
Yay. I'm just really sad now.
All right. Well,
say
that was our
name,
week, guys. So let's do something. This is a new segment we've been doing. This is actually our second week in doing this. And this is our lockdown pick-me-up.
We're on lockdown, baby, and we're trying to get out. Been washing my hands about 24 times. It gets worse every day that I turn on the news. Stuck here singing those dang old lockdown blues.
Blues.
All right, so lockdown pick-me-up is just that. We're all on lockdown, but here are some stories and some cool things that we thought you guys might need a little pick-me-up while we're all being locked down. So everybody is locked down in different areas, of course. You know, luckily, Matt Damon is spending the coronavirus crisis in a small Irish town. And, of course, the locals are loving it right now.
Oh, he's in Ireland, is he?
He's in Ireland, yeah.
Oh.
He brought some happiness to some residents of a small town of Dalkey, Ireland, during this whole pandemic thing going on. And, of course, he's been spotted around town posing for photos and for those who ask, and, autographs and stuff like that. So he's been having a good time there, and, of course, the people are enjoying it. So it's kind of nice, you know, get a big celebrity out there. So, and the reason why he was out there is that he was passing some time since March 27th when lockdown kind of came down. But right before that, Damon was working on an upcoming Ridley Scott film called Last Duel. And that's the reason why that him and his wife and his four daughters are there and everything.
Ridley Scott.
Good place to get stuck. I would totally vote for that.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Now, of course, I've been seeing a lot of things coming out from Disney now. And they're releasing certain recipes that they have. Last week, I think they released their churro recipe.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I
read. And Amber, this is one for you and I. So Disney has now shared its Dole Whip recipe.
Whip. You know, whenever I get this Disneyland, I'm always bummed that there's no rum close by. I'm always like, what? Rip off.
Yeah, well, you gotta go to the Pirates of the Caribbean to get the rum, so. Yeah, but here we go. So Disney shared the recipe on its Disneyland and Disney World apps on this past Wednesday. Basically, what you need is one big scoop of ice cream, possibly vanilla is what they're thinking. It didn't say exactly which one. 4 ounces of pineapple juice and 2 cups of frozen pineapple.
Mm.
You add them all together in a blender and blend until it's smooth, and then you make your own little swirl, and you're done.
Diabetes.
Then you add your own little bottle of rum to it.
And alcoholism.
Yes. Absolutely, yeah. So there you go. So now you can make just the same way that Disney makes it.
Mm-hmm.
So sounds now, like I have some with my pina coladas. Boom, yeah. Done.
And now you don't have to go to Disney anymore to go get it. So.
That's right.
Save yourself a trip.
It takes the fun out of it, though.
It does. It does. And the funny thing is, I actually, when every time I do go to Disneyland, I actually have to go over to the tiki room and get one of the pineapple spears. I have to have one. I don't know what
the
it
spears?
Is. Yeah, the pineapple spears.
We usually get one of each. Like,
oh, really?
And then we go sit in the tiki room and we... I love the tiki room. Oh, I want to live in the tiki room.
I love sitting outside when it's warm in front of the fireplace they have outside.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's so cool. Nice. That's one of my favorite things to do.
While you're waiting in line.
I legit have never been to Disney. I haven't been to Disneyland in like 10 years.
Oh, it's changed. It's changed. For the better,
it's
which
so
is good.
Fun.
All right. Well, this next thing here, you guys might recognize this movie and this theme song.
Coming back to me.
Oh, yeah. That's right. The actors who played the Wonders, that's the O'Neaters to you, though, sir.
Oh.
Are the pop rock quartet for the 1996 fake biopic favorite, That Thing You Do. Well, they reunited last night for a fundraising event for those affected by the coronavirus, including they honored Adam Sachsenberger, who is the person who wrote this song. Because he passed away due to the coronavirus on April 1st.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So the whole cast got together. Tom Everett Scott was saying that the idea was to join us in a Zoom session where they were all going to watch the movie together. The actors shared their love for the film and the experience, of course, making it. And also, from my understanding, Liv Tyler also joined the cast. The question was last night, I don't know if Tom Hanks joined them or not. So
I saw his son was on there. You know, remember Graham's dad?
Right, your friend
and mom were right. They were writers on that album. And
they wrote things. All the other songs on the album, I think, is what it
I
was.
Think so.
Except this one, you know, the big hit.
The hit,
right? All right. Well, in other news, Jon Bon Jovi surprised a Florida kindergartner class with an online classroom visit. Last couple of weeks ago, John, we talked about it where John had, he was inviting different people to do the second verse of a certain song.
Oh, the songwriting contest, yeah.
Well, this kindergarten teacher, Michael Brodnick, basically had some of his students from Marsh Point Elementary School in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, write down some lyrics, and they send them in to John. And the teacher contacted somebody from John's staff. And then John then surprised them with an online visit and used some of the songs.
How fun.
Or some of the lyrics from the kids in the second verse. And they all got to sing along with it. Oh, you got it here?
Yeah. Dude.
Awesome. Let's check this out.
Yeah. Thumbs up, guys. Can you hear Mr. Bon Jovi?
All right.
So cute.
Awesome.
So Mr. B got you guys writing. And I was very excited to hear that because if you get to put your feelings down on paper, sometimes they'll turn into songs, sometimes they'll turn into stories, and you never know where it might lead you. So congratulations to the whole class for taking part. And I thought maybe, if you want, I could sing you a couple of the lines that you guys sent me, and I could put them into a melody for the song that I have written.
Such that sound good, Mr. B?
It sounds incredible.
All right, so the first one I've picked is from Elise. I have been doing school crafts and scooter riding during this old quarantine. I also learned to ride a bike with no training wheels. If you know what I mean, then you know how that feels. If you can't do what you do, you do what you can. This ain't my prayer, it's just a thought I'm wanting to send. How does that one sound, Elise?
Oh, that is so cool. I love it.
Yeah.
That is so neat. It's kind of awkward to see Jon Bon Jovi wear glasses, though.
He's such
like
a
an
silver
old man.
Fox.
He is. And that's why I love that guy. You know, he is just so down to earth, and, I mean, he gives back so much now.
I would not recognize him if he had those glasses on. That's really, like, changes. Like, he looks like a... I could not tell that was him.
Well, he stopped dyeing his hair, so he doesn't have the blonde hair anymore, and he's all gray now. And, he, I mean, the dude's, what, 54, I think, now, or 55, something like that?
That's all?
So, yes, Mr. 70.
50's the new teenager.
But I thought that was really cool, man, you know, in Jon Bon Jovi. And I'm sure the kids don't know who John is, but half the time go,
no, they're like, who the hell is this dude? Okay, whatever.
Yeah, and why is he from Jersey? Isn't that where it stinks or something?
Yeah.
What's up with that?
The smelly part.
Trotter, man.
Talk about living on a prayer.
Yeah. So here's the final thing for you guys for the lockdown pick-me-up. Last week we talked about how to watch the James Bond movies and what order to watch them in. And there was about five different ways to watch them. So, and this one, I think you might get a kick out of, Amber, because there's some shows in here that...
I have one, my number one. You know what mine is. I talked about it all week last... Okay. Last week.
Well, this one, though, is this is the 10 sexy TV shows to stream.
Oh, stream.
When you're sexually frustrated.
I thought that was... You were talking about a cooking show when I read my paper
steam.
There.
Says, steam.
Says steam. Ten shows steam to steam.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
steamy. So here we go. So the first one... is obviously the big one, Game of Thrones. Everybody knows there's a bunch of sex in that.
And
yeah,
I didn't understand what you said. Sound like data bone.
Is it Game of Thrones?
Yeah. Well, I thought it was Game of Thorns.
No.
Oh no!
Good Lord!
See, put your glasses. This whole time you thought it was Game of Thorns.
I thought it was a movie about
that,
Christ.
Isn't that big show? Isn't that what it was? Game of Thorns?
No.
No, Game of Thrones. It's an incredible book series.
One of my
too.
Favorite shows of all time.
All right. So the next one is, they say to watch, is Outlander. Because they just feel like it's a big, giant romance novel to come to life. And, of course, who can forget Sex in the City?
I had a lot of Sex in the City.
Yeah. And, of course, the U.S. version of Shameless.
Wait, there's a different version of it?
Yeah.
There's two. There's the English version and the American version, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And, of course, this one I didn't hear of, but this is something from Netflix called Sex Education. It's about it follows a high school student, Otis, with his sex therapist mother, so.
I've seen the previews for that one.
Okay. And another one called Skins, which is a British teen drama that premiered in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, well, here's a big one for you, Amber, The L Word.
You know what's funny? I never liked it.
Really?
It is so phony lesbian relation. It's not real. It's very, I don't know. Just that's me personally. A lot of women love it.
Well, it became popular in the LGBT community for its uncensored same-sex scenes. So, yeah. True Blood, which is a show that followed sexy vampires in Louisiana.
Never got to that.
Yeah, I never saw that one. I did start to watch it, and then I kind of got bored with it, but Masters of Sex.
Oh, the Masters and Johnson.
Yeah, the Johnson and Johnson.
Yes.
Yeah.
I loved the girl who played Johnson. Well, I can't remember her first name, but the girl partner.
The one who kind of go, hello.
Is it Marianne Cotillard? The French actress?
I think whoever it was that played her, I don't know the name.
We'll have to Google that one. She is fantastic.
So Masters of Sex. And then another one called Elite, which is a high school drama set in Spain. So, but of course, you're not watching it to learn Spanish, though, obviously. And of course, Orange is the New Black, which I really didn't realize. Of course, the show follows a group of inmates at a women's prison in New York. And of course, they set the standards on Netflix when it came to sex scenes. So there you go. So there are the top 10 sexy TV shows to stream when you're sexually frustrated during this whole quarantine.
I still think Outlander should be number one, honestly.
Well, this was in no particular order. So you can make Outlander number one for you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
And there you go, guys.
Lizzie Kaplan.
Oh, Lizzie Kaplan. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. And there you go. Those are your lockdown pick-me-ups.
Do 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 do.
We're on lockdown, baby, and we're trying to get out. Been washing my hands about 24 times. It gets worse every day that I turn on the news. Stuck here singing those dang old lockdown blues.
Blues, blues, blues. Alrighty. Well, today is also Haiku Poetry Day.
Oh, yes. Haiku.
Haiku. And if you're not familiar with it, basically it is nothing more than a Japanese type of poetry where it's three lines only. The first line and last line are five syllables, but the second line or middle line is seven syllables. So we're going to do a round robin here for you of some haiku poetry.
Be relaxed when you do it.
Me first. Yes.
That's not relaxed.
My Japanese girl, you like it?
That's actually pretty good.
Yeah. Ah, yes, yes. Haikus are easy, but sometimes they don't make sense. Refrigerator.
That is so Japanese.
It's all the syllables.
I didn't think it was anything else.
Huh. Grace personified. I leap into the window. I meant to do that.
Why does that sound German?
Jawohl.
Well, it's...
I leap into the window. I thought. Shoot.
I think a cat wrote that one.
I think so.
Let's see. All right, here's mine. Hey, I want to go outside. Oh, no, help. I got outside. Let me back inside.
Again, a cat wrote that, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. See, here we go. This is perfect. I like kittens, yeah? They are really fluffy, yeah? Oh, my God, kittens!
A dog wrote that one.
I actually could have written that one.
Haikus confuse me. Too often they make no sense. Hand me the pliers.
Hi, I think haiku suck. Has to be 575. Who came up with this?
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a really good one.
Steve is still reeling about his.
That's so random. I love it. Oh my god.
That was a pretty good one. When you can like dig on it. Okay. Yeah. All right. So, five syllables here. Seven more syllables here. Are you happy now?
Okay. Hi.
Hi. Hi. Hello.
Lots of guilt to share. What am I doing wrong now? A Jewish mother.
Oh, yes.
Ohio.
That is very good. Very good. Very good. Very good.
Pass wasabi.
Arigato.
I think this one was written by Axl Rose. So, Yeah, he sent us one. It says, hi. Take me down to Haiku City, where the grass is green and the... Damn it!
Oh my gosh. That's pretty good. Okay.
This is not racist at all.
No. Welcome, Del Marva. How you guys doing, huh? Enjoying the show?
Hopefully they're still listening.
Oh, highbrow. Yeah. We're all highbrow here.
The Japanese audience has left.
Were they ever really there, though?
Maybe.
They may have been.
Maybe.
No.
Maybe in Jersey.
Are you guys ready?
Yes.
For me to do this one?
I was born ready.
Hi. I went to bed, wondering what day it is. Perhaps tomorrow. That's my life right now. That's
I think that's everybody.
That's my next tattoo.
As long as you keep remembering where the toilet is.
That's a task.
Hi. I'm much funnier when I am drunk off my butt.
So are we.
Sadly, I'm sober.
Also we.
Hi. Pirates are fierce and mean. Drowning fish sea to sea. Parrots on their butt.
And sushi.
Ooh.
We got
that
two
one's
butts.
Profound. That one is very profound. Yes. Hi. Expand your mind, Git, to work. Bet your...
You want to try that one again?
Hang on. Expand your mind, get to work. Better yet, put your feet up. Watch TV.
There you go.
Oh, hi, what's up, eh?
Yeah. I think that's Steve's lifestyle right there.
Hi.
Hi.
Only so many.
You didn't say hi.
And so much to get done. I'd rather take nap.
Hi.
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 Yes.
Hi. Hi. This haku, you could write better one. Go ahead and try.
Hi. I did. I mean, I didn't.
Arigato! Kushimoshitomedeshita! Yes.
And there you go, guys. There's our haiku poetry for...
Those were very befitting of the quarantine. Those were very befitting of the quarantine. That all made a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does.
Oh,
it
by the way, I just got a message from listener. Listener Anna says that Outlander should have been number one on that list.
Well, there we go.
All right, listener Anna. As I said, it was in no particular order.
Hi.
So
Sonya.
You could write a haiku about
Outlander.
I outlanded it.
Right. I wrote a haiku about Katrina Balfi. That's what I'm going to do.
There you go. All right. Well, you know what? We lost. I mean, of course, there have been people passed away because of the coronavirus, obviously. But we lost another great legend, though. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, it was not of the coronavirus. The great actor Brian Dennehy passed away recently. So. I think, Steve, you got the story on that one?
Yeah, I got to say, this is one of my favorite actors. He could do so many different things, and he would affect you all the time. Sometimes it was really, like, awkward, uncomfortable, because his character was so real and so good. And he was always
He was a great actor.
Oh, yeah, he really was. And it was natural.
Yes.
But he was the regular guy actor whose bulldog build, good guy demeanor, and no-nonsense approach meshed in an array of memorable roles for film, television, theater. He was 81, and he died. He died Wednesday night of natural causes in New Haven, Connecticut. Hey, that's right out there near Marva.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, that's Delmarva to you, sir.
Delmarva. Okie dokie. Dennehy played...
Well, it's
like, okay, whatever.
He played so many roles. It was announced by his oldest daughter that he had died, and he was larger than life, generous to a fault, and they were proud, and he was a devoted father, a grandfather, and they all miss him dearly. His family. He played the sheriff in Washington State who doggedly pursues Vietnam veteran John Rambo in First Blood back in 82. Yeah.
He was so good in that.
He is a district attorney who's out to save his own skin in the Harrison Ford movie Presumed Innocent, 90. Mm-hmm. Lawman in Gorky Park in 83. Silverado, what a lot of people think is one of the best westerns ever made.
Nope, Tombstone. Tombstone's number one, Silverado.
Yes, yeah. FX in 86 and its sequel. Bestseller, 87.
Yeah.
The Last of the Finest in 90. The Assault on Precinct 13 in 2005. And starred as a hard-hitting real-life Chicago detective, Jack Reed, in five NBC telefilms from 93 to 96. And he actually wrote and directed four of them.
Oh, wow.
Now, he was 6'3", 250 pounds, former college offensive lineman, and he could also be a gentle giant.
Wow.
I loved him in 10. I don't know. Not a lot of people actually saw that, but Dudley Moore movie 10 with Bo Derek.
Mm-hmm.
They were at a resort in the Caribbean, and he was the bartender, just a small part. And you just sat there, just mesmerized by him. It was really, really cool. He was also, and this was a fun part, the friendly alien leader, Walter, in Cocoon,
yeah,
and. Chris Farley's pop in Tommy Boy in 95.
Oh, that was a good one, yes.
Now, he's won Tony Awards in 99 and 03 for playing Willie Loman in Arthur Miller's Death of a Salesman. I've never seen that performance, but I imagine he would be perfect for that.
Absolutely.
He was the fourth actor to play the role on Broadway. A Tony winner for Best Revival of a Play was among the high points of Dennehy's long and fruitful association with the work of Eugene O'Neill. He's acted in things like I like to do. I like to do classics like Tennessee Williams and things like that, O'Neill and all those.
Right.
And
yeah.
So he did a lot of that, and he was really good at it. Whenever he could, he retreated to the stage in Chicago, saying he preferred the Midwest because I can sit down with rational people who make $50,000 a year and live in houses and have children and pay their taxes and shop at Sears.
Amen.
Now, he said he chose to live on a farm in Northeast Connecticut because the biggest celebrity in town was the guy who played Big Bird. He was a great guy. Loved watching him, and he will be missed. And luckily, we have a lot of him that's been left behind in the form of
films.
Yeah,
well, he did so much. Yeah, film, television, you know, theater and everything. And he's done so much. And you look at, you go to IMDb and look at what he's done, and you're going, holy cow. Yeah. And I mean, and a lot of them were small TV roles, but still, he was such a big impact, though.
Yeah. He always drew attention when he did a part.
Yeah,
he took stage.
And Zach, do we have something from the news by chance on him? Or?
Yes, I do.
All right. Let's go ahead and play that real quick.
At 6'3", Brian Dennehy was tailor made to play the burly tough guy.
You can't do this.
Really?
Like the corrupt sheriff in Silverado.
Morning.
Or the equally evil sheriff in Rambo First Blood.
So why are you pushing me? I haven't done anything to you.
First of all, you don't ask the questions around here. I do. You understand?
But he was a skilled enough actor to tackle softer characters too, like the friendly leader of a group of aliens in Cocoon.
We'd like to rent your boat for 27 days. If that wouldn't be too long for you.
But right now, I'm gonna need you, Tommy boy!
Back to many, one of his most memorable roles was Big Tom, the doting dad in Chris Farley's gut-busting comedy, Tommy Boy.
I've always dreamed about having a brother.
Speak of the devil.
In a career that spanned 5 decades, Dennehy starred in dozens of movies, including TV films, playing basketball coach Bobby Knight in A Season on the Brink, and serial murderer John Wayne Gacy in To Catch a Killer.
It is considered.
He was also an accomplished stage actor, winning 2 Tony Awards, one for Death of a Salesman, the other for A Long Day's Journey into Night, a performance that brought Dennehy and co-star Vanessa Redgrave to Today in 2003.
And if both of us get through without any broken limbs, we'll be okay.
Lin-Manuel Miranda says he was lucky enough to see Brian Dennehy twice on stage. A colossus. What a loss. From Russell Crowe, who recently shared the screen with Dennehy, he was a fine actor. He was good company. It was a privilege to work with him. And Rambo himself, Sylvester Stallone, posted a tribute saying the world has lost a great artist.
Wow. So much.
But moves on. He was 81, so he he didn't really leave early, like so many have.
Yes.
He had a full life. Awesome.
Yeah, he had a good life. And
yeah, he did.
You know, the only thing I've ever seen him. I'm sorry, I know I'm a little on the young side here.
No,
but
that's fine.
He played. He had a guest role in Law and Order: Special Victims Unit, where he played like the bad guy in it, and he was great in that. And I didn't even really know who he was, but. Mm-hmm. That, he stuck out of my mind because of that. Still remember it.
Yeah, and that's just it. Like I said, he did a lot of small roles, you know, like early in the 70s, he would do like Kojak and Quincy or whatever. But he always left a great impression. He was just a great character actor. And then it grew into other things and so forth. And, and then he got to do the movies and stuff. And so, but he did everything. I mean, movies, TV, and I was going to say film, but stage.
Stage, yeah.
You know, so. Yep. Yeah, I mean, just really, really good.
South Park even mentioned him once. Just a reference.
Yeah. So, well, definitely we will miss.
That's when you know you're famous.
Yep. Right. Yeah, we get on South Park. Yeah, so we will definitely miss Mr. Brian Dennehy. So thank you for all the great, great memories and movies that you've done for us. Well, you know what? Steve likes to, as we all do here from time to time, take a drink now and then.
Now and then.
But one of your favorite, though, is Amaretto.
That's exactly right. That's my favorite alcohol.
All right. So I got something here for you, my friend. So these are the best drink recipes for Amaretto.
Let me get my pencil out here.
I'll just hand this to the list to you when I'm done. So, of course, the first one is Amaretto Sour. It's one of the most common ones.
Oh, yeah.
You know, basically, it's just four ingredients, rather. The Amaretto, sweet and sour, lemon, lime soda, and cherries, and you're done. And that's basically it.
And you need 10 of them to get a buzz.
Not the way Steve drinks it.
Just saying.
Yeah.
You got to use the right glass.
Yeah. The next one is called an Almond Joy. Have you tried that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hey, good song. So candy lovers love the Almond Joy. Basically, it is mixed with amaretto with coconut rum and creme de cacao.
Cacao.
And they, so that's pretty much all that is. There's the toasted almond.
Oh, that's good, too.
Oh, you've had that one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So he knows all these here. Basically, it's
these are all very sugary. These are very sugary drinks.
Well, yeah, they're the most of my grandma.
I happen to like that.
Mm-hmm.
An ounce of coffee flavored liquor, an ounce of amaretto, and 2 ounces of cream. That's basically what it is. Here's Amber's favorite, and well, I think actually most of us, the orgasm.
Oh,
who doesn't?
Yeah, exactly. So
I should be pigeonholed.
Yes. Oh,
thank you.
Oh God,
thought you liked that.
Oh. I'll have what she's having.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. So, of course, it's a very popular cocktail.
The orgasm was a popular beverage.
Yeah. It's a half ounce of white creme de cacao, half ounce of amaretto, half ounce of triple sec, half ounce of vodka, and 1 ounce of light cream.
All right. I'll be right back.
Okay, Alabama Slammer.
Alabama Slammer.
I did not realize that that had amaretto in it.
Oh.
Yeah, so...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, basically, it makes the most popular list. It's a half ounce of amaretto with a half ounce of Southern Comfort peach liqueur, an ounce of slow gin, splash of orange juice, and splash of sweet and sour mix.
Couple of those, you'll be hugging the toilet.
Nah, you rookie.
He had a friend named Dave who liked... Southern Comfort.
Like, oh, so I love Southern Comfort. Yeah. Now, have you heard of this one, Amber? A Cranberry Kiss?
I think that when I was bartending, there were some different names to a couple of these.
Okay. Mm. So this
and
one...
I worked at a gay bar with all the guys, so maybe they were like, no, that's not an orgasm, that's the blow job, or I don't know.
Okay, well, this is built on holiday theme, so it's the perfect drink for Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner. It's a cup of cranberry cocktail juice, half a cup of vodka, half a quarter cup of amaretto, 1.5 tablespoons of fresh squeezed orange juice, ice, clementine oranges peeled and segmented. Now, this recipe basically makes 4 cocktails, though. So, but for Steve, it would still be 1.
Mm-hmm. Or in Steve's tumbler.
Yeah.
Give me the glass you mixed it in.
Here you go.
Okay, the milkshake?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so there's a certain type popular brand of amaretto called Di Serrano.
Di Serrano, yeah. That's okay.
Di Serrano,
for
yeah,
me, that's the only amaretto.
Okay.
The all the other amarettos are really nasty.
Yeah.
Di Serrano is the only one. That's okay. The only one you want to buy.
All right. So, again, it's a popular brand. So it's 3 ounces of the amaretto, 2 ounces of milk, and 2 scoops of vanilla ice cream.
Oh, my gosh.
Mmm, that's a good milkshake.
You know what I'm hearing here?
What?
The diabetes.
All right, how about an Italian sunset?
I think that's some different names here. Keep going. Let's do this one.
So this one, it's a very, pretty much it's a summer drink, and it combines the flavors of almond and orange. So you get 2 ounces of amaretto, 3 ounces of pulp-free orange juice, 3 ounces of club soda, and a dash of grenadine.
I've had that.
Okay, that sounds good.
That is. It's tasty.
Yeah.
Sounds very good.
Now, this I never heard of, though. Amaretto and Coke.
I don't think I've ever done that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Why ruin good amaretto?
I would say, why ruin a good Coke?
Well, there we go. You drink the Coke, I drink the amaretto, we'll be happy.
But basically, people, they say they find it delicious because it's a combination of the Coke and the liqueur, describing it as similar to an alcoholic Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It kind of sounds like a flavored soda thing.
Yeah. And the last one here, excuse me, is the Amaretto Alexander.
Graham Bell.
The Brandy Alexander is a cocktail that rose to widespread popularity in the 1920s and remained popular ever since. This is pretty much what it is. 1 ounce of amaretto, 1 ounce of creme de cacao, and cream to taste.
Huh.
What is with these caca to te?
Cacao. That's what it is.
Cacao,
yeah. So there you go. So there you go, Steve. So
okay, just hand that paper right over to me.
Absolutely, buddy.
There
here you go, man.
Thank you. Oh, look at that, boy. That's.
I always think if you have a really lousy whiskey or bourbon, and you just like take a little splash of Di Serrano in there, fixes it right up.
So I'm gonna put this in my pants, and we'll go from there.
All right. Well, earlier we were talking about it's been 50 years. Since the breakup of the Beatles and the breakup of the Monkees. But let's talk about the Beatles first.
Rosetta. Sweet Rosetta fat. She thought she was a cleaner. But she was a fry.
It's over there, Paul.
I need to tune my drums.
Tune this.
Tune that.
Okay.
Tune him. Tune you.
Tune you. Tune me.
Oh, yeah.
Steve's waking up. Yep, it's been 50 years that the Beatles chose not to play together. Yep, when Paul McCartney revealed that he had left the Beatles, the news dashed the hopes of millions of fans while fueling false reunion rumors that persisted for years. In a press release on April 10th, 1970, for his first solo album, McCartney, he leaked the intention to leave the band, and in doing so, he shocked even his bandmates. Was McCartney's announcement official? Well, his album appeared on April 17th in a press packet, including a mock interview, and in it, McCartney is asked, "Are you planning a new album or single with the Beatles?" His response was simply, "No."
Oh, that's it. Cruel.
Now.
And the rest was history, Paul.
That's right.
Yeah, that was good.
Now, it's always been a thing between the Beatles and the Monkees. Not that there was a rivalry or anything, or a difference in musicianship or whatever, but two very popular bands, especially since the Monkees was based upon the Beatles' A Hard Day's Night. That's where the idea came from for the Monkees.
And they were on TV every week, so you saw them.
Them, right, exactly.
The time.
And of course, they ended up becoming a real band because they just actually played a band on TV, but then they became a band, where the Beatles were a real band.
Mm-hmm.
So check this out, and let's switch the music here. 50 years ago, Michael Nesmith buys his way out of the Monkees.
Huh. Yep. I wonder how much it costs to buy your way out of the Monkees.
Well, officially, Michael Nesmith ended his tenure of the Monkees during an April 14th, 3 days apart from Paul McCartney's release, in 1970.
Suspicious.
1970 commercial for Kool-Aid and Nerf balls. Fitting, he signed off by saying, "Enerf, enerf."
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, at that point, the band had released four albums since the Monkees television show limped off the air in 1968, including the soundtrack for Head, which found their group making its leap to theaters. Yet they continued to be defined by the program's paper-thin characterizations. This was particularly difficult for Nesmith, who still boasted a much higher musical aspirations. He wanted to be one of the greatest bands in the world, playing some of the great music in the world with some of the great people in the world, Nesmith told Rolling Stone in 2018. Nothing less than that, I thought. Well, why can't I play stadiums with the First National Band, which is the band that he created after the Monkees, and we talked to him about that about a year ago or so. So anyway, but first though, he had to get out of his contract. The former Monkee bandmate Peter Tork, who had already left the band, shown how difficult that it could be. He ended up having to buy out his deal with Screen Gems for about $150,000 a year. Yep.
Things that make you go,
Yeah. Nesmith made a similar deal, leaving himself in financial ruin, basically. It wasn't until 10 years later that he inherited his mother's invention, which was liquid paper. And received money from that. Yep.
I have one at home right now.
Yep.
Interesting. Huh.
Yeah. So, but I thought it was really interesting that both bands broke up around the same time. you know, it was just really, really interesting. So
I think Paul McCartney left the Beatles because he was tired of listening to Yoko Ono go.
God, I agree with that. I'm tired of hearing it after you just did that.
So there you go. So a little bit of monkeys and Beatles news there for you. So, but 50 years, good God, man, that's holy cow. And what's amazing, but what's amazing is both bands have survived. I mean, Beatles sales has not slowed down. And luckily, the monkeys have still continued on. And unfortunately, we've lost Davy Jones. We've lost Peter Tork. But still, Michael and Mickey are going out touring. And they just released a new album of one of several performances that they've done in their last tour that's all live.
I think
Yeah, and it's an amazing live album.
I think Michael Nesmith and Mickey Dolenz need to get together with Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr and have a little go at it.
Oh, okay, because you said that.
Sean just got a little.
Yeah. Okay. Search Pizza Hut commercial monkeys. Or Pizza Hut commercial Ringo Starr, either one. And you'll get a kick out of this.
I think I got it.
All right, yeah, the first one there.
Make sure there's no ads.
Yeah.
I'd do it in a second.
The fans will dig it.
This is Ringo starts talking.
Enough. I've just got to get the other lads to agree. I think I can convince them.
I'll say, lads, the time has come
to eat our pizza. Crust first.
Yeah.
Good idea, Ringo.
Cool. Yeah. Stuffed crust pizza from Pizza Hut with cheese baked into a new thinner crust. You'll want to eat the crust first. Now with free garlic dipping sauce. Wrong, lads. Large is $9.99.
You know, it's funny. It's funny. Is Pizza Hut's like still the same price for like a large one topping stuffed crust pizza?
But a lot of people forget though that the monkeys and the Beatles really got along. I mean, Michael Nesmith was even invited to when the Beatles did A Day in the Life, the recording session for that.
Record on it.
Yeah, he was there for that, and he's also there for All You Need Is Love. So here's Michael Nesmith sitting with the Beatles and the Stones and everybody else, whatever, you know, while that's being recorded.
All you need is love.
You know, but they've known each other for many, many years.
Better to be buddies than to feud. I mean, that makes
sense. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And they got it, though. But I remember when that commercial came out, though, that would have been, 88, 89, I think, somewhere around in there, I think.
What, this commercial?
Yeah.
Oh, God, no. This was the 90s, because I remember when that came out.
Is that the 90s?
Yeah, I was probably like maybe 7 or 8 when that stuffed crust came out. That was a brand new thing.
Oh, okay. So probably early 90s then.
It's so sad.
I remember that commercial. I should remember that. I'm right.
Yeah, you're older than Zach. What's up with that?
I don't know.
God, come on, Amber.
Obviously, all I was thinking about was Kylie Minogue and Olivia Newton-John. That was about it.
There you go. Well, speaking of old rock groups and everything, here's another thing. It's also 8-track day.
Woohoo!
Oh, boy.
I remember mine.
Really?
Your 8-track? Oh, yeah.
Well, okay, what 8-tracks did you have when
my first...
Or your first one, or like the ones that you always had?
Well, the first 8-track album, I went to one of those, you know, they have the little stereo stores on the corners, or like little, you pull in and they work on it. I did that. I had bought a 66 Volkswagen Beetle in 1967 after I graduated from high school. And it only had that weird radio, so I went and got an 8-track tape immediately. That was the first thing I did. And I was like, as they put it in, I was thinking, oh, I should get a tape or something. And I was looking through the tapes, and I found a Jimi Hendrix 8-track.
That was your first one?
That was the very first one.
Oh, that's nice.
Wow.
So that was so cool.
Wow. Well, I'm much younger than Steve. So much younger.
You guys are all old.
8-tracks were somewhat on the way out by the time I got into music, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So they were still lingering here and there. I never bought one myself, but my Aunt Diane, for whatever reason, thought I needed to have an 8-track. And so for whatever reason, she got me Devo's Whip It.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Whip It Good.
Yeah. That was the first and only 8-track I've ever owned in my life.
Imagine the release of that, like, just barely met up with the 8-track. That was kind of
cassette, basically. Yeah,
I always loved the video, the music video for that song.
Yeah, so that was mine, was Devo's Whip It.
See, my parents were into vinyl, so that's, I mean, they had a huge vinyl collection.
My parents had a small vinyl collection also, but they had some really cool stuff. That's now mine. I've got some really cool stuff.
My parents had some, they had crates and crates in a closet upstairs.
Well, have you ever noticed that when you walk into the studio here, the two 45 records that hang on the wall?
Yeah.
Okay, those are originals.
Oh.
Yeah, so the first one is Theme from a Summer Place by Percy Faith, the 45. Mm-hmm. And the other one is Marty Robbins' El Paso. And those are original records that we have.
Okay.
Yeah. So now, did you have any 8-tracks, Amber? Or no? Was that already passed?
No, I didn't have any, but my dad had an old Monte Carlo. Is it the Buick? Is the Buick Monte Carlo? Was that the one? Or no? The Monte Carlo.
Or was it Monte Cristo? Or was it Monte Cristo?
It was definitely not the sandwich.
Okay.
It was the car. It was this black muscle car. I'm pretty sure it was a Buick. Anyway, but he had an 8-track in that, and then he had an Aerosmith, which is funny because that was his favorite band.
Uh-huh.
His first concert, and they had this. That's the only 8-track I ever remember seeing is this Aerosmith.
Wow.
It was Chevy, by the way.
Oh, Chevy. Yes, the Chevy Monte Carlo. There we go. Because we also had a Buick Riviera, so there you go.
Yeah. I'm not going to even ask Zach because he's too young.
I'm sure my dad had one.
Probably somewhere.
Somewhere in a pile of stuff in a van down by the river.
Oh my gosh.
Down by the riverside.
Well, my dad actually, I know my dad did. My dad had like one of those one of those roadie rocker kind of vans that was really beat up and like all the equipment that he would haul in it. Because my dad was he was like a lighting director assistant for a company called West Coast Lighting, and he always had music playing. So whenever he did pick me up, he had tapes. I don't know if they were 8-track tapes, but I was probably like 2 or 3, if I remember it. So, you know.
They were the big ones, about this big. Square.
Okay, then that's a no.
Okay, got it. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, they were like a block. They were these huge. They weren't, and when cassettes came out, they were like, yes.
Yeah, it was so much smaller, instead of carrying.
Yeah.
You know, in the same spot, you can have, I think 12 8-tracks, you can carry like 30 cassettes.
Yeah, and I think the cassettes held a lot more.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, it was easier to deal with, too, because you didn't have to, press go to program 4, rewind, or fast forward, and then hit program 3 again, fast forward, or whatever. It was all screwed up to get to your favorite song, where cassettes was a lot easier.
I just remember fumbling with things like that when I started driving, and I had a tape deck and a CD player in my little tiny Honda Civic, and I think I almost crashed a couple times trying to change the cassette or the CD.
Gotta be careful.
You know what I used to do? I would ride when I was probably when I was a teenager. I would ride my bike around, and I would take the CD Walkman, a little portable one, and I would tape it to the middle of the bike, and then listen to it while I rode, and it worked for a little bit. But every time I hit a curb or a bump, the CD would skip, and I'm like, let me stop and try this again.
Oh, that's funny. You had to put it on your belt or your pants.
Why couldn't have iPods came out or iPhones came out when I was a kid? God, that would have been so much more practical.
Just the way technology went for those times.
Yep.
I just can't have my cake and eat it too.
Yeah. Well, now, Amber, you've got a list though of.
So a couple of our listeners. So we had Denise Putman. Hi, Denise.
Hey, Denise.
She's definitely listening.
Yeah.
So she said that she was a kid, but she remembers the Eagles being in her little 8-track collection.
Oh, wow.
Little, big, I'm not sure. I added that in there. the Eagles, that would have been fantastic. And then Barry Steinberg.
Oh, our friend Barry, yeah.
Yeah. Owned Bob Seger's Silver Bullet Live.
Oh, wow.
He owned that one. Could you rent them? Were they rentable?
No.
Could you you can exchange in video games? Brian Dwyer. I like that name.
Oh, Brian.
Good. Yeah, that's a good name.
Our buddy,
okay. It's my friend Brian.
Yeah.
Brian, he said, I didn't own it per se, but I distinctly remember my dad's car having an 8-track player, and it seemed that the only 8-tracks he had were Crystal Gayle and the Oak Ridge Boys.
Woohoo.
Yeah, that's a lot of hair. That's a lot of hair between all of them. Yeah, I don't think they were. I don't think the 8-tracks were like a big.
They kind of hit like, kind of big, and then it went away within like four or five years.
And then our friend David Garcia, he said that my dad still has an 8-track player in his man cave.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's scary.
I'm getting some serious Zach vibes from this. And jams out to Al Green and the Bee Gees.
Oh, there you go.
Al Green.
Yeah.
He had a good voice.
Yeah, on 8-track. There you go.
I just want to go, ha, ha, ha.
Oh, that, you meant that vibe.
Yes. Wow. Peter Griffin version, yes. So here were the best-selling 8-track tapes back in 1969, according to Billboard. That's 10 years before I was born.
69.
So we'll just go from 10 to 1. So number 10, Led Zeppelin.
Okay.
I guess it was their...
Betty Boop, probably.
Name one. So Three Dog Night is number 9.
Yeah.
That's a good one. 8 is Age of Aquarius by Fifth Dimension.
Oh, yeah.
Bob Dylan, Nashville Skyline.
Really?
I dig on that. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
6, I'm not so sure about 6. You gotta school me. What is Blind Faith?
They were a band.
Okay.
Yeah, they were a band.
I don't recall anything.
They only had, I think, I'm guessing maybe about 3 or 4 albums, and that was it, really.
Okay. So. No, obviously, they were pretty popular.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a good one. Number 5, Bayou Country, CCR.
Oh, good.
Yes. Get a little down south there. Number 4 is Hair.
Oh, yeah, the musical.
Long,
yeah.
Beautiful Hair.
I guess. That wasn't a band. That must be the musical.
Yeah,
musical. Number 3 is Johnny Cash, San Quentin. That's a good one.
Thank you.
2 is Inagata DeVita, Iron Butterfly.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Classic. And number 1, I have to agree with this one, Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Sounds good.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
Good stuff.
There was some, we said it last week, too. It's like, what happened to music? It used to be so good, and now it's just,
Yeah.
My music's still
different taste. Different taste. Because your parents said the same thing about your music. Just don't forget that.
Well, no, because see, my parents were weird. And because they... Okay, real quick. My parents were pre-war babies.
Okay.
So, like, my mom was still listening to all the crooners, even in the late 60s and 70s. I think the hardest rock she ever listened to was, like, the Carpenters and Trini Lopez.
That's hard rock.
Yeah. I mean,
oh,
that was really it. You know, she never listened to Three Dog Night. She never listened to Led Zeppelin or anything like that, you know, mm-hmm. or Bad Company or whatever. My dad got more into Latin jazz as he got older.
God, those delinquents.
So, yeah, it was really weird. But here are two people who graduated in 1957 and 1958. So they were at the beginning of rock and roll. So they grew up listening to Elvis and Little Richard mm-hmm. and, you know, Ricky Nelson and all that early rock and roll stuff, you know, but they never stayed with it.
Yeah. Did they judge you and say, what has happened to music?
No, but I remember my dad was surprised one time where he heard Poison's version of, it's the Kenny Loggins and Messina song. Oh, good Lord. I can't think of it. I had it and I lost it now. I can't think of it.
Hawkins and Messina, what was it?
Oh, good Lord, I gotta look it up now.
Okay, Google it. Hurry, you googly.
Yeah. Gee, I know people are screaming it to me right now, too.
This is what Google is for. Hurry, come on.
Okay. Yeah.
This is why we need Neuralink.
Jimmy,
I totally get one.
My Jimi Hendrix 8-track was Axis Bold as Love, by the way. Released in 1968.
Oh, okay.
Boom, boom.
Apparently, I made your mom mad, Sean.
Why?
Because I said those delinquents, and she just said on the chat line, "Excuse me,
you're in trouble with mom."
Oh, come on! It's all in good fun here.
I can't think. Flesh of blood, nothing. Oh, your mama don't dance.
Oh yes, that was. I remember that remake. That was
And
that was a fun remake.
Yeah, and yeah, it was Long Machines, Your Mama Don't Dance. And my dad goes, hey, I know that song. Wow, they must have really scraped the bottom of their barrel on that one, you know, yeah. Kind of a thing.
Oh my gosh.
To redo that one, you know. So there was some stuff that my dad got into that I listened to, but my mom, not that much, though. She was, you know, still more, I think, still is into the crooners and stuff, which I love as well. You mm-hmm. know, matter of fact, yesterday we were talking about Dean Martin, so. But anyway,
good
so.
Stuff. Louis Prima.
Yeah, so there we go. So there's our 8-track day for you guys.
8-tracks.
All right, so. Now, you know, here's something we have to, for everybody who's now listening on Delmarva, that we do something that's very unique in the way we like to tell a joke. Right?
Yes.
Yes.
That's okay. A good way to say it.
Yeah. It's a very unique way.
Sorry, I have nothing.
And it's our way of giving you guys some class.
And some culture.
Something that we like to call
pocket-sized cinema.
Dun-dun!
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. And welcome to Pocket Size Cinema. Today's feature is entitled Helping Grandpa.
Get off the lawn! Pick up the poop!
Helping Grandpa. We open when a little boy and his grandfather are raking leaves in the yard. The little boy finds an earthworm trying to get it back into its hole. Let's pick up the action here, shall we? Sit back, relax, and enjoy Helping Grandpa.
Grandpa, I bet I can put that worm back in the hole.
Oh, I'll bet you $5 you can't. It's too wiggly and limp to put back in that little hole.
The little boy runs into the house and comes back out with a can of hairspray. He sprays the worm until it is straight and stiff as a board. He puts the worm back into the hole with ease. The grandfather hands the little boy $5, grabs the hairspray, runs into the house. 30 minutes later, the grandfather comes back out with a big smile and hands the little boy another $5.
But, Grandpa, you already gave me $5.
Oh, I know. That's from your grandma.
Oh, boy.
And there you go, guys. That's our version of Pocket Size Cinema there.
That movie, remember the movie Bad Moms? Did you watch that?
Oh, yeah.
When Kristen Bell's character says that she has to fold her husband's plastic. the fold and stuff, something like that.
Oh, when she said that, it kind of reminded me because there's an actual thing out there, and you can Google it. But it's,
I'm afraid to.
It's called Puppetry of the Penis.
That was a big popular program.
Yeah.
Or show. Yeah.
Yeah. Puppetry of the Penis. And like the men get their genitalia and will bend it and do different things with it. So it looks like a hamburger.
The wristwatch. But I don't have any
urge
to check this out with my own eyes.
any urge to go see it.
That makes all of us.
Just keep that covered up, please.
Alrighty, guys. Well, let's talk about what's news.
What's news, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. What's news, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa.
Sometimes I really wonder about these stories. I really do. But this one is not, it's strange, but it's not that strange. But the thing is why are we reporting it? Is what it is.
Oh, I see.
Because we have nothing else to do, literally.
The internets.
Got it.
The
all
interwebs.
Right. So, Shawn Johnson East, you guys know who she is?
No.
That was a guy.
Okay,
for a
she's an Olympic. Yeah, so did I. She's an Olympic gold medalist. Her and her husband drank a cappuccino made from her breast milk.
Okay, that's cool.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, the Olympic gold medalist and her husband, Andrew East, welcomed their daughter, Drew Hazel, in October of 2019. And she's been open about a lot of things, from her pregnancy cravings like bagels to her C-section details. Johnson East told U.S. Weekly on April 7th that her husband was not above crafting a coffee drink using her breast milk. And then, of course, they both drank it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and so they asked, you know, well, did you guys try it? She goes, yes, we both tried it, and so did he. And so they finally asked, well, how was it? Apparently, it was a bad mix.
Ugh. Oh.
Because they both said it was nasty.
Nasty.
Oh! Oh!
Too bad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, they said, personally, I'm not surprised because it wasn't the tastiest concoction. She said that there was one time where she was on the train in Long Island, and it was really late, and she was hungry or whatever, and she had extra breast milk in her pouch. Whatever for, and
her pouch. That's a new term.
Her pouch, you know, for the diaper bag or whatever.
Oh, you were putting your hands. It looked like you meant her
kangaroo,
her lady part.
No.
Oh my god,
that was to the side, not to the front.
That's where do you think the boob is? Right there.
Yeah.
Oh, the pouch.
Okay. Yeah, you can milk anything with that.
Anyways, so and she said that she chugged about 10 ounces of it or whatever to kind of help her hunger pangs a little bit and everything. So, but yeah, so.
It doesn't taste bad at all. I don't know what the big deal is.
I have nipples, Greg. Could you milk me?
Oh, my gosh. Do you know there's an industry for this?
There is.
There are rich, elite, old, crusty men who will pay a ton of money for breast milk, like Mr.
Hey,
Burns.
Hey, I'm not crusty.
Okay.
All right, thank you. And neither Steve.
neither one of us are 80.
Exactly.
Oh, gosh.
Let me be...
Amber, now you had two kids. Did you taste your breast milk, though, when you had the kids?
Yeah, of course.
What did it...
And then my sister, when she had her little girl, I think I was probably 22 when she had my niece, mm-hmm. My first niece. But yeah, we totally tasted. Why not?
Now, what did it taste like for you?
It's kind of
fat-free.
It totally depends, because I'll tell you something crazy. When the baby's mouth is on the nipple, there's the part of the areola that the baby's saliva can actually get into.
Uh-huh.
And literally your boob, like, it will gauge all of that and make the milk accordingly to what, like, if there's these antibodies, different nutrients, or if there's something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it changes. If you ever look at, if a woman pumps, mm-hmm. you'll see that it can change occasionally, from that.
So. Anybody else hungry?
I'll have to try that with my delicious. Wife tonight. So.
I mean, I'm not like chugging. I'm like, I'd love some breast milk right now.
You're right.
Not that.
Yeah, but no, I tried my wife's when Roman was born. But for us, it was different because she.
Wait, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, Roman.
Everybody does it, Zach. Just
Roman
trust
was
us.
Premature. Yeah. So Karen had to pump, and we had to save all of this breast milk in the deep mm-hmm. freezer. So that way, when he came home from the hospital, we had all this frozen milk ready for him, whatever.
And to keep the lactation going, you have to
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, all right. What story do you got, Amber?
Oh. We're not talking about boobs anymore?
No.
Are we moving on?
We're moving on from boobs.
Sadly.
Okay.
Temporarily.
Yeah, temporarily we're moving on from boobs.
One of my favorite topics. Okay, so 18-wheeler carrying toilet paper crashes in Dallas. I'm curious how it's going to go down. A tractor trailer loaded with toilet paper went up in flames. Oh no, it turned bad. Early Wednesday morning near Dallas, the driver of the 18-wheeler reportedly lost control around 4:30 a.m. on the westbound Interstate 20 near Interstate 45. For those of you who know Dallas.
Right.
The truck ended up on its side and caught on fire.
This is sad.
Sacrilegious.
Wow. I wonder if it was Charmin or if it was like Kirkland.
Yeah, I hope it was the cheap kind. I really hope it wasn't
the one ply.
And wonderful.
I've always wanted to drive one of these.
Oh, try.
I did when I was a teenager.
Did really? You really?
Yeah, I worked for an auto parts distributor in L.A.
Get out of here.
And one of the things I was able to do while doing that was drive some of the trucks, and I got to drive an 18-wheeler a couple of times.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. That's really cool.
I keep saying this, and every now and then, folks, you're going to realize, I've known, Steve and I have been friends for over 30 years. I still learn crap about this guy.
Surprising. He always surprises
Holy
us.
Holy cow, yeah.
Done a lot of things.
Where he lives and who he's lived with and everything. And
Social Security number?
Just about.
Wow. Oh, debit card.
So it's the driver and his dog were not hurt.
Oh, that's good.
Apparently had his dog with him.
The dog was okay.
Yes, the dog is fine. The crash spilled toilet paper all over the interstate. So, oh, wow. And much of it was all already burning, so that's unfortunate. Oh, so nobody could go snatch all of it, which is a bummer. So the crash also caused a significant backup on the I-20 during rush hour. Wait, rush hour at 4:30 a.m.? This doesn't make sense. Because
well,
all
Texas.
The westbound lanes of the interstate were closed while crews worked to remove the smoldering TV.
Well, it probably took a while from then.
Yeah, it's always rush hour in Texas. Yeah.
Is it? Really?
I don't know.
But the dogs are okay. Or the dog is okay.
Yeah, but the dog is okay.
It was probably Kirkland brand. Let's not panic.
Yeah.
Okay, as I start reading this story, I first have to... sort of word an apology to our East Coast friends there in Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia who are with, hi guys, how you doing? Hopefully you're listening to us. But, you know, this next story, unfortunately, makes me want to move to Portland, Oregon.
or have a birthday party.
Now, we all know everybody's in lockdown and a bunch of businesses had to close. Well, unfortunately, the Lucky Devil Lounge at 633 Southeast Powell Boulevard in Portland. The club had to close because Governor Kate Brown's mandate to stem the spread of the coronavirus. So anyway, you know how everything goes. So now we've got a bunch of strippers out of work.
Oh, it's that kind of club.
Yeah. So the club owner, Sean Bolden, came up with an idea. I want to say this correctly. It's called Boober Eats.
Boober Eats, got it.
Boober Eats. It's a home delivery service in which a pair of scantily clad strippers will deliver hot food to your door. It started as a joke, but people began seriously inquiring about orders. Well,
that's kind of cool.
He saw the potential, and while the rest of Portland was hoarding toilet paper, he went to the local store and bought all their pasties. So,
oh my gosh.
From 7 p.m. to 1 a.m., Boober Eats is offering a full menu with the Lucky Devil Lounge at the same prices as normal, and delivery rates are generally $30, but vary depending on distance. Anyway, people order chicken fingers, steak bites, mini corn dogs, and they're delivered by a dancer. Who's escorted by a security guard.
Yeah.
And,
that makes sense, yeah.
So the obvious question, can you get a dance?
Yes,
well,
I would think
okay.
So.
Okay, there's at least one rule that carries over from the strip club to a pandemic, no touching the dancers.
Which is typical.
So you get to just look.
A healthy 6-foot distance.
Yeah. So there's 25 dancers. They've started doing Boober. And even with deliveries, many of the dancers doing Boober runs have gone from making several hundred dollars a night to earning close to minimum wage.
Wow.
Losing the job was devastated. One of the strippers named Kiki said she started her first Boober shift Friday.
Her real name's Cheryl.
For the majority of us, it's been an almost complete loss of income. I'm here supporting my community and trying to keep maintaining an income flow as best we can. The owner said he's trying to employ as many people as possible during the shutdown, so this was one way to do it.
Yeah, that's a great idea, absolutely, because, I mean, so many other people have been trying to, you know, their business is one thing, but they make one particular thing, but then they switched it to make other things. And
yes.
Like, I know, I forgot what it was, what this one guy did for the movie industry, but now he's making masks for people, basically, now, you know, so... It's like, yeah, you got to switch it up, whatever to do.
Get creative.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, there. And there you go, guys. That's what's news.
What's news, Pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's news, Pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa.
All right. right. So now, for those who are on the East Coast, we like to do a particular game, and we always try to open up our phone lines. Unfortunately, today the phones are down, though. But we want to let you guys know about it, where you can call in if you like. You play against us. It's basically just a simple trivia game, and we can try to get two listeners on. There's 10 questions. The listener one takes the first five. Listener two takes the second five with us and competes with us. See, you know, just how smart you really are. If you get three questions or more correct, you get a simple prize. And of course, for those on the East Coast now listening to us, we do have certain little prizes that we can mail out to you and stuff, because some of the stuff here is local as well. So the game that we like to do is just simply called...
And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the game show that caused Gene Rayburn to come back from the dead and apply to be the host, Quiz Me, Quiz You.
You.
All right, so.
He was still thinking about boobs. I was That's too, true. Okay?
You Outlander person, you?
Yeah.
Oh, Katrina Balfe. Ugh.
And
can't
I
shut up about it.
As soon as Amber's done, I am your host. So, question number one. Hi there. How's everybody doing?
Okay. We're doing great.
How many legs does...
I'm sorry, for a moment there, I thought you were going to say, how many legs does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop?
A baker's dozen.
Sean.
13.
Wait a minute.
What?
Did I haven't finished this?
No, I haven't.
Legs?
I haven't finished it yet.
Oh. I just heard baker's dozen, so 13.
How many legs does a spider have?
Steve.
Amber.
Steve.
8.
That is correct.
Dang it.
Dang.
I have the baker's dozen right, though. You know that.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Whatever. Question number two.
He just has to be right.
What color is an emerald?
Sean.
Green. Well.
It's my damn birthstone. He stole it from me.
Oh.
So it's mine, too.
It's Zachary's, too.
Yay.
Oh, yeah, it is, huh?
Yeah, we're all made.
Well, it is.
Yeah, question number three. Making fun of the way I talk. Whose nose?
Sean. Pinocchio.
Yeah, baby.
I'm doing easy ones because Amber's always complaining that I do stupid lame ones, so I was trying to give you guys an advantage.
I didn't
today.
Say dumb it down.
You know what?
That's funny because look who answered it.
You did it, right? What the heck?
You dumb down a quiz and he can precog all day.
All right.
I hate you guys. Question number four.
It's okay. I got three right.
No, I got one of them.
What? I just have a lag. I've been saying my name.
What's the response to see you later, alligator?
Steve.
Oh, man.
After a while, crocodile.
That is wrong.
Sean. All the while, crocodile.
Wrong.
Oh, come on.
Amber?
I was going to say what Steve said.
You guys got it right, but the
see
first...
See you later, alligator. After a while, crocodile.
Yeah.
Wait, Amber, what'd you say?
After a while, crocodile.
No, it's you guys got the first verb wrong.
See you later, alligator. After a while, crocodile.
I thought it was all a while, crocodile.
Nope.
No. That's after a while, crocodile. Wow. Somebody out there is pounding their fists at the
oh my gosh.
At the speakers. At the.
All right, what is it?
In a while, crocodile.
Oh,
jeez. Oh,
you're out, bitch.
Baby. Suck it!
What the hell is that?
That's Mark and Brian when people lose.
Oh my gosh.
And here's question number five. All right, let me find something not...
No, you don't know. You don't pause. You go, here's question number five. You go to question number five.
God, don't chastise me.
Sean, in a wild crocodile. Jeez.
Yeah. Whoops.
Where'd you get that? Because the official song by Bobby Charles says, see you later, alligator, after wild crocodile.
Inquiry.
I think we're going to have
inquiry.
To have a review board on this one.
Inquiry.
I'm ready. What is a group of lions called?
Amber. Pride.
That is correct.
Suck it.
For those on the East Coast, that is Amber trying to be a New Yorker.
Yeah. Suck it, okay? You shut the hell up. Okay, sorry.
Sounds like she's more from, like, Long Island. Okay.
That was Upper Manhattan.
Yeah. Whatever. Which is the fastest land animal in the world?
Steve. Whoa. Cheetah.
That is right.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, that is, yeah.
I got to see one in action. Ooh, they were fast.
It's because he got caught cheating.
Cheetah. No. Question number 7.
Thank you.
I need a drink.
Amaretta.
Yeah, there's some downstairs.
Amaretta.
I'd like an Amaretta.
Oh, on ice? We'll,
we'll have to come up with something.
We need an Amber Alert.
Amberetta. It's like a ballerina.
Amber Alert coming in. Amber, are you there?
I am.
What's the Amber Alert?
Breaking news.
Apparently on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, breaking news.
Amber's Debbie Downer moment at the minute.
Broadsword calling Danny Boy. Broadsword calling Danny Boy.
Do you copy? This is urgent. We're trying to get through the show, but we just can't seem to do it. Send help.
What the hell is going on?
Cheetah, Pinocchio, what?
Number 7.
On the farm, what is a kid?
Steve.
Steve.
A goat.
Sean. Wait, Amber goes next.
Or Amber.
I was going to say goat, too. A kid's a goat.
Nope.
Young old McDonald. Kid.
Oh my gosh. What the
Well, it's a kid.
A kid is a goat.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Corey, not to this thing, so what is it?
You're half right.
Oh my gosh.
A half a goat?
It's a baby goat.
There you go.
Oh, come on.
Oh my gosh, you stickler.
God, what? Did you want these to be easy? Question number 8.
Mean we're not done?
We got
a
two
baby
more.
Goat. Oh my gosh. I know what I'm
going to
do today.
Do-do-do-do-do.
Have some breast milk?
Well, no, I would not. No. No. I'm going to look at baby goats.
All right.
And then also.
Question number.
Just break in, Zach, anytime.
8.
Yes.
This felt like it. All right.
Good.
What is the opposite of cheap?
Sean. Expensive?
That is literally the right answer, yes.
Wow. What the hell are these?
Hey, he dumbed it down? Leave him alone. Let's
I thought
on.
He was kidding.
Question number 9.
I didn't realize that.
You just like it because you're winning.
I'm on a roll.
I was like, why did he say that?
Give me some scientific questions.
What is the atomic number of...
What, gold? No.
All right.
What is called... The happiest...
Steve.
The happiest Steve?
Sean.
Disneyland.
Hey.
The happiest place
no.
on earth.
No. I'm sorry, sir. It is Walt Disney World.
Yeah. No, I beg to differ.
It's a pair of large
it's
breasts.
It's Disneyland.
Oh. Well, we can't really argue there.
Okay. What number was I on? Am I
9.
9? Okay,
cleavage.
They don't need to be large.
I'll have the cleavage.
As long as I can get both nipples in my mouth, that's as far as I need.
Wow. He went
Did I say that out loud?
Welcome, Delmarva.
Welcome to Steve's brain.
Speaking of the East Coast, what is the smallest state in the United States?
Sean? Rhode Island.
Couldn't say my name fast enough.
That's what she said. Question number 10.
Why does it seem like it's question number 12?
I know.
Why does it feel like it's like day 75 of this month?
I don't know. We need to end the show soon.
I don't know what day it is.
I don't know either. How many bones do sharks have?
Sean.
Steve. Now Steve.
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 Zero.
That is right.
Yes. That's correct, yeah. Yes.
I actually did not know that at all.
They're all cartilage.
They are all cartilage.
Wow.
All righty, guys. Well, we hope you enjoyed today's show. And absolutely. And we want to thank Vince with Delmarva Talk Radio and allowing us to join his network there.
Yes.
We hope you enjoyed our first live show, East Coasters. Of course, we are doing our Past Moments show from show number one all the way to catching up to our live shows. And you can catch us Wednesday through Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. Eastern time. So there's a lot of shows there that you guys can listen to. And of course, we do our live shows here at 1 o'clock Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard. So we hope you enjoy today. Show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page is, you find us at Your Weekly Dose. And you can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Your Weekly Dose 1.
You can follow me, Steve, on Facebook at Steve Silva and on Twitter at SilvaLining69.
Yes, and shout out to Vince, by the way. I have to have Zach say my name really quick.
Amber Ash McGeary.
Thank you. You can find me at that, Amber Ash McGeary, on Facebook and Instagram.
Your last name's McGeary.
And I'm on Instagram and Twitter. I don't really use Twitter that much, but mostly Instagram at Zombie Mel Gibson. Yes, it really is Zombie Mel Gibson.
And if you want to follow me, Sean, on any of the social pages, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, I kept it all the same for everybody. It's simply Sean Roberts, H-C, and Sean is spelled S-E-A-N. So go out, enjoy this weekend, everybody. We want to thank again Vince for allowing us to join Delmarva Radio. We hope you enjoyed our first live broadcast. We'll catch you guys next week, so be good to each other.
Goodbye, world.
McGeary.
McGeary.
Break it up, a favorite blues.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.